Welcome to the Wrestling Brethren Podcast. This is episode 403. This is WrestleMania week. And we are locked in with WWE. Tonight we will discuss Raw. With me tonight is Seth Zillman. Jarrett is out on assignment. So Seth, how the hell are you?
Dude, the week has finally arrived. I do have my trusty soda with me right now, so all ready to talk that WrestleMania show coming up.
WrestleFest. Oh, wait, that's SummerFest.
SummerFest, yeah.
And WrestleFest was a video game console.
Yeah, a good one, too.
Yes. So, news headlines. I want to make a strong recommendation for anybody who has not seen the interview done with CM Punk on Ariel Helwani's MMA Hour from Monday, April 1st. No, it was not an April Fool's joke. This interview almost lasted 2 hours. And as Ariel said, if time wasn't a constraint, I'm sure I could talk to you for 3 more hours. And I know I would have found it entertaining. Mm-hmm. But lots to come out of that interview. And a lot of people will say it's just one side of the story. But I will tell you, it was an interesting side of the story. So I highly recommend, for those who have not watched it, to go track it down on YouTube.
Yeah, I think I can add to that that it's the first time we've heard directly from him concerning what happened. Now, obviously, what could be different, what could be a difference of opinion, what might not add up, we may not know. But I think it's always good to at least hear from the source, you know, from one of the people who was actually there. That alone, I think, makes it worth it.
The one quote I will relay that I found extremely interesting was the night of All In at Wembley, where Tony Khan said he feared for his life for the first time at a wrestling show. Punk said, well, first of all, Punk said he didn't do anything towards Tony that would make him fear for his life, so he's not really sure where that came from. But he did say, and I quote, "You're a joke." No, I'm sorry. "This company is a joke. You're a clown. I quit." So, and while it's not out of context, I would still listen to what he has to say before and after that. It is a great quote. But there's a lot more to it than that. So, again, highly recommend to go seek that out. The other news headline comes from earlier today, where WWE announces Clash at the Castle for Saturday, June 15th in Scotland. SmackDown will emanate the night before from Glasgow. But Scotland at the OVO Hydro Arena is where the PLE will be. And I looked it up after somebody online said the crowd in Scotland will be great, but why such a small venue? And I looked it up. It's smaller than the Allstate Arena for seating capacity. I'm like, wow. Because Allstate, when they had their sellout last week, was 15,802. This place holds a little over 12. And I'm like, wow, that's...
And this is for a weekly show taping?
No, this is for the PLE Clash at the Castle, just like last fall or whatever it was when Drew lost to Roman. That pay-per-view. Yeah, so it's taking place in a different month this year, but it's a PLE and it's at an arena smaller than the Allstate Arena. So that's an interesting choice.
Okay. I would have thought they would have gone to something big because, I mean, even if it was a much bigger venue, I think we agree it would sell out. It's probably going to do better than sell out now because it's smaller. But I was thinking if they had like a 50K arena, they'd probably still sell out in the weekend.
Yeah. I don't know what they're, you know, obviously we don't know what the restrictions were at any other arena. It's possible that what other arenas weren't available for that date, but perhaps they're going for the NXT London or NXT UK experience in terms of an intimate setting. Who knows? But that will be interesting. So moving on to Monday Night Raw, the final go-home Raw for WrestleMania at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn, New York. The show opens with an in-ring segment featuring The Rock and Roman Reigns. And The Rock enters first, and I swear every week they keep adding something to his entrance. And this week it was kind of like a hologram covered in lightning bolts onto the Tron, and it says The Final Boss instead of The Rock. I think the person who's making these video boards are just having fun. Just like, man, this is easy money. I'll just make cool shit that shows up on the Tron.
Yeah, or they're just maybe they're encouraged to do something else each week.
Right? Just add a new flair to it. It'll be great. Yeah, all his entrances are cool, heel or not.
More flair.
Yeah, no pun intended.
Yeah.
So he comes out, he's saying what he did last week, and, you know, nothing really new with his promo. He calls out his cousin. Roman acknowledges his family, thanks The Rock for the... you know, for doing his bidding and bludgeoning Cody, and they're interrupted by Seth Rollins, who essentially challenges both of them to a match tonight, and they can pick the stipulation. Well, obviously we're not going to get Rock or Roman in a match 5 days out from Mania, but they said they always have a plan. And the person that was facing Seth on this night would be Solo Sikoa, and it would be in a Bloodline Rules match, which is essentially what Sunday will end up being. But that's for our prediction show on Friday. So, yeah, thoughts on this opening segment here?
Yeah, this segment had all of the good from the Attitude Era days. I know we joked for long time about how Raw for the longest time had that cookie cutter format where somebody would come out for a promo, it'd last 20 minutes or so, and then it would get interrupted and there'd be a scuffle, and then the main event is made for the end of the night. But they hadn't been doing that a lot lately, so it made this feel special. And the only thing I would say is a criticism I don't think this would have happened if Vince was still around, but Seth challenging The Rock one-on-one there, it was like, that's kind of teasing a match that they're not going to have, because you saw that reaction of everybody going, what? So, and I guess they could probably defend it by saying it, they're still doing the tag match this weekend, but that was my own little minor criticism about it outside of Rollins saying he wasn't going to be stupid because they saw what we did at Cody last week, but yet he still agrees to do a Bloodline Rules match.
Yeah. We'll get to that. Maybe in the main event, because he reveals himself to be stupid anyway.
Right. I mean, I suppose you could defend it by he knew that Cody was there, but still, I mean, it ended with both baby faces laying down. So.
Yeah,
did make him look kind of dumb.
Yeah, and to say, Michael Cole did say at the beginning here that Cody Rhodes has not been medically cleared to appear tonight.
Mm-hmm. Which in wrestling talk means?
Yeah, he's there. So I know, Seth, you didn't see much of the show aside from the start and the finish, so I'm going to run down the middle. And then if you have any thoughts on it, you can chime in. Otherwise, we'll get to the main event segment. So the rest of the show was a recap of Becky Lynch hijacking Rhea Ripley's interview with Ariel Helwani on the same show that CM Punk was on. That's probably why Rhea was in character for most of those 10 minutes that she had before Becky came into the building and into the studio, and they basically had a pull apart as mildly as you can in a podcast or radio studio with non-wrestling people in there. Kathy Kelly then catches up with Becky and asks her about the earlier incident, and Becky says she's going to the ring later to finish what she started. The first match was an 8-man tag team match where the Judgment Day defeated DIY and the New Day. Scary spot in this match where Johnny Gargano dives to the outside and crashes head and neck first into the announce table. Johnny does go online later and says he is okay. Then we had a backstage segment with the Bloodline where it's revealed that Roman Reigns will be the one inducting Paul Heyman into the Hall of Fame.
Yep, and that is a good choice.
We had a video package where Chad Gable is training Sami Zayn, both physically and mentally, on how to beat Gunther. And between this video package and how this is being played up, they're kind of giving the underdog Rocky Balboa vibes, and this is going to be in Philadelphia, where Rocky was based out of. So if Sammy ends up winning, then this was the Rocky Balboa push slash gimmick, I guess. Backstage segment with the Judgment Day as Dominic brings in Legado del Fantasma, and Rhea and Damian are not happy with these visitors. So more teasing of tension and dissension in the Judgment Day, and certainly possible that they will all disband after WrestleMania. At least that's what they're teasing. In a rematch from last Monday, Sami Zayn and Bronson Reed goes to a no contest after Gunther attacks Chad Gable out on the ramp, and then Sami goes to make the save, and Gunther destroys Sami Zayn as well.
It kind of made me wonder with the training stuff if Chad was supposed to be Mickey or Polly or Apollo in his training stuff, to continue with the Rocky analogy.
And the sad thing is because I'm so jaded with watching wrestling all these years, watching that vignette, I'm like, that could have been a heel turn. That could have been a heel turn. That could have been a heel turn. This whole thing could be set up to be a heel turn. And even if it's not, it's like, yeah, but it could have been. So whether it is or isn't, it's just the jaded fan in me, I guess, that's been watching this for 30 plus years. So
yeah, I get that vibe too, for what it's worth.
Ah, well, there you go.
You're not alone.
Yeah. Veteran fans can get the same vibe. Leah Maivia confirmed as the final inductee to the Hall of Fame. This is The Rock's grandmother. And if you watch the show Young Rock, you are fully educated on who she is or was. She was the first female wrestling promoter as she ran the promotion in Hawaii and often butted heads with Vince McMahon over talent usage. So obviously The Rock will be inducting her. That will be happening on Friday after SmackDown for the Hall of Fame.
Even more wrestling to watch.
Yeah. Oh, they put up a graphic with all the content this week. I'm like, holy crap, I can't keep up. In another match, Maxine Dupri and Ivy Nile defeated Indy Hartwell and Candice LeRae. This was more fodder. This is more quick fodder for Candice's heel turn and the eventual split, I would imagine. Well, it's either going to be a split from Indy or Indy is going to turn heel as well. So we'll have to see. This will be post-WrestleMania fodder, I would imagine. In a backstage segment, Jey Uso talks with Seth Rollins, and Seth Rollins goes, "Just the man I wanted to see. Walk with me, talk with me." And this is more of, you know, they're planting the seeds that Seth is getting help for later on in the night. They did a video package with Drew McIntyre at a funeral home where he eulogizes CM Punk and Seth Rollins in a fantastic promo. So
yeah, those are the type of segments that never get old when they're done well.
Right. His opening line was, "Look in my eyes, what do you see? CM Punk has no match in Philly." I was like, damn. And another match, which was underrated and could have been match of the night, Ricochet continues his winning streak, defeats Ivar, lifted him up and threw him in a feat of strength, and then wins the match with a 630. Impressive. Yeah. I don't know what they're doing with Ricochet, but keep the wins coming.
Yeah, and it's a testament to those guys that they did a match and the crowd really didn't seem to care at first, but by the time it's over, I mean, that's a sign that you really did a good job with that match when you get the crowd from half asleep to practically standing ovation by the time it's over.
Yeah. Shortly after that, we had a backstage segment with the Judgment Day where Finn is tired of Ricochet and they're trying to figure out the Ricochet problem that they have, which is funny because they really haven't interacted with Ricochet other than their losses from JD and Dominic, I guess. So Dominic introduces Andrade to Santos Escobar as Legado del Fantasma is still hanging out in the Judgment Day clubhouse. Dominic says, "Why don't we have Andrade solve the Ricochet problem? And if Andrade can defeat Ricochet, they will make him a full-time member of the Judgment Day." Based on the body language from Andrade, I still think he could care less about joining Judgment Day. And I think he's just suckering Dominic in to set him up. So if I have a feeling this will contribute to the demise and the downfall of the Judgment Day.
Yeah, yeah, I think so too.
Backstage segment with Damage Control where they're blasting Jade, Naomi, and Bianca, as well as Bayley, and saying that they will all lose at WrestleMania. Then we get to the Rhea Ripley and Becky Lynch in-ring segment where Becky's ready to throw down, but Adam Pearce comes out and he says, "No, no, this is not happening. I'm not risking one of my biggest matches on the biggest WrestleMania of all time. You can save it for Saturday." And he has security out there, but of course, Becky and Rhea both lay waste to security. They have a little brawl. Security recovers, tries to separate them. Another pull-apart brawl between these two. While I feel they've ramped this up the last couple of weeks, I think they waited too long, similar to Jimmy and Jay. I think they should have started more interaction from Rhea when Becky was having her challenging matches every week instead of just bumping into her backstage and giving a smile and barely saying anything. I think they should have ramped this up a couple of weeks sooner, but I have a feeling, much like last year, the match will make you forget about the build.
Yeah. And where were all those guys at the end of the night? Well, I guess if they got their clocks cleaned by Becky and Rhea, maybe they realized, well, maybe we shouldn't try to break up the fight with the Rock and Roman Express and the baby faces.
Well, what seems to be an online trope now is when security comes out and we know it's just local wrestlers, people are saying, okay, which one of these guys is a future world champion that we can say we knew them when? Then we had a match that was kind of a throwaway, and booking wise, it didn't make sense, but Damage Control of the tag champs and Dakota Kai defeated Zoe Stark, Shayna Baszler, and Tegan Knox. And I was like, a heel, and a babyface?
What are they trying to be, NXT?
Yeah, I was like, did Zoe and Shayna turn face, or did Tegan turn heel, and none of it was explained? So, yeah, it didn't go more than a couple of minutes, and obviously Damage Control wins heading into Mania. And then we had the main event of Seth Rollins versus Solo Sikoa in a Bloodline Rules match that, surprise, surprise, ended in a no contest. So we had two matches ending in a no contest on one of the biggest draws ever. It ended in a no contest because after Seth put Solo through a table and hit him with a stomp, he was super kicked in the face by Jimmy Uso. And then Jay came out and they brawled up the ramp to the backstage area, and Jimmy went stage left and Jay went stage left, and then immediately Jay returned stage right because he was thrown out onto the ramp by the final boss. The Rock is out and he's throwing Jimmy into the, or not Jimmy, he's throwing Jay into the video board. And I'm thinking to myself, you're all about family, but you're beating the shit out of your cousin. Okay. So he beats up Jay and then he slowly walks to the ring and he looks like he's going to pick the bones of Seth Rollins. But Seth gives him a cat that ate the canary grin, and Cody's music hits and The Rock looks worried for the first time. Cody makes a beeline to the ring. But what I noticed, and this is my sick attention to detail, he's wearing an American Nightmare shirt that is white, except for the face of the logo, which has the same blood that he had on his face the week before. So they immediately made a t-shirt out of it. I'm like, oh my God, the marketing. So he runs to the ring, lays hands on The Rock. They get him out to the floor. Him and Seth clear off the announce table. They look like they're going to maybe perhaps powerbomb him through the table. Cody stands up and he pulls up The Rock, and people are saying, oh, Crossroads through the table, though that might not be enough impact to break the table. And I don't know if you're going to have enough room to land, but then he puts The Rock's arm up in position for a rock bottom. And before this was broken up, the crowd popped huge for the good tease. Rock bottom tease. Yeah. And it was Roman Reigns who had earlier in the night said he was leaving, another wrestling trope.
Yeah, exactly.
He'll be back, or he never left in the first place. So Roman hits Seth Rollins with a Superman punch. He hits Cody with a spear. The Rock comes in. He takes off his weight belt, which actually has the American Nightmare logo on it, which looks like he basically raided Cody's locker room and stole one of his weight belts. And then they commenced to the whipping. And they, if you thought the bonus footage from last week was rough, they whipped Cody and Seth about 5 to 10 times each with this belt. Yep. And taking turns between Rock and Roman. And between these whippings, the whippings last week, when Wardlow whipped him in AEW, when MJF whipped him, I'm like, what sadistic mindset does Cody have that he has to be whipped all the time? I'm like, Jesus.
Well, I think I can answer that. Just speculation. I mean, it gets him sympathy, and yeah, it probably hurts like hell, but I'd rather take 10 lashes with a big belt like that than go tossing off a cage through a table or something like that.
Yeah.
He's not risking any career by doing this.
Yeah. There was one angle that looked like he was bruising right around the kidneys, though it could have been shadows and light, but it looked like it hurt like a bitch. So that was essentially the end of the Raw episode as it goes off the air right at 10 o'clock. Can't wait for Netflix next year when they can run over whenever they want. So obviously the heels stand tall. And if you were to go by booking 101, you would think that the next time they are all on TV, the baby faces would win. However, I do feel like they put the heels over last week, the heels over tonight, and then the heels will win Saturday. And the whole thought process will be like, oh no, Cody has all the cards stacked against him. How will he ever survive? And then he will, because the Avengers will assemble and defeat Thanos.
Mm-hmm. So,
thoughts on this end and where we're shaping up heading into Mania?
Yeah, that was a hell of a go home show, a hell of a go home angle. When I make fun of wrestling logic like that, I'm honestly not, certainly in this case, I'm really not complaining, because you, at least I can, forgive lapses in logic if it's something entertaining, you know, and if it's something that builds sympathy for the good guys and make you want to see the good guys get beat, the bad guys get beat. I mean, so this was one of those classic angles that I said it already, but it's always good when it's done well. And you got four of the best guys in the world right now doing this. So of course it's going to be interesting. I think we're all pretty much in agreement. I guess we'll save the bigger discussion for Friday, but it does look like they're going to get beat in the tag match, but they bring in reinforcements for night two. Or maybe you could do the thing where, I mean, this is just what I would do on SmackDown, is get it somewhere where you have Cody get a visual pin on Roman. There might not be a referee. It might not be during a match or something to that, you know, but something that makes it look like Cody could pin Roman in a straight up fight. Because then you have the reason why the heels would want to go to the no rules match. But I just wanted to get that in before SmackDown comes on, so I can, you know, if that's what they do, I can say, see,
I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So another thing they set up on Raw was they confirmed earlier on social media, but said it on Raw also, was that they put the order, or not the order, they put matches on specific nights. So we have all the Saturday matches announced. We have all the Sunday matches announced, and we'll get to that on the prediction show. Something that I want to say before we wrap up here is Michael Cole was very specific in his wording about the six-pack tag team title ladder match. And this is something we were speculating about, and Cole kind of made it official without making it official. He said that both sets of belts have to be retrieved before the match concludes. So if one team pulls down a red or a blue set of belts, the match continues until the blue set is pulled, which you would think you would grab them both at the same time, but that leaves it open to be what we've said, and that they're finally separating the titles, as one team will grab one set and one team will grab another set.
Yeah, I think that is the way to go too.
Yeah, there's plenty, as you saw, the depth is more real on SmackDown for the tag team division, and they have no titles.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. Well, it is going to be a hell of a week of content. I mean, tonight was NXT go home before their pay-per-view. Tomorrow, the debut of WWE Speed on Twitter. Thursday, I think, I don't know if it's going to be filmed or recorded, but it's the live Pat McAfee show at WWE World, which is their their week of WrestleMania event that they have going on. Friday is SmackDown in the Hall of Fame. Saturday, Stand and Deliver and Mania Night 1. Sunday, Mania Night 2, preceded by the Slammies. There will be a press conference after each night of Mania. So crazy, crazy week of content.
Yeah, we're not getting any sleep this weekend.
So our next episode will be our WrestleMania XL predictions, and that should be interesting. There's a lot of matches where you might have to decide whether you want to predict with your head or your heart and see, because there could be differences between the two. This could be one of the most interesting prediction shows that we have this year that doesn't have prop bets like the Royal Rumble. But looking forward to Friday.
Yeah, agreed.
So until then, once again, thank you for listening, downloading, and subscribing. And we will talk to you next time.
Thank you for listening to this episode. You can subscribe to the Wrestling Brethren podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast fix to hear the latest discussion from the Wrestling Brethren. Visit the mothership, if you will, at twbpodcast.com, the online home of the Wrestling Brethren podcast. Let us know your thoughts, questions, and comments on Twitter/X at twbpshow, on Facebook at facebook.com/behindthesquaredcircle, and on Instagram at The Wrestling Brethren. You can follow Jarrett on Twitter/X at TheBaconRev. You can follow Seth at Lord Xandrax. And you can follow Josh at SouthpawJosh. Thank you again for listening, and we will talk to you soon with more from The Wrestling Brethren.